Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2022 Youth Education Conference held in Orem, Utah.
Thank you for being here. You people are beautiful and handsome, and I'm excited to be here. How many here have ever heard me speak before? Okay, good. Oh man, I was like, I might be brand new here. So a lot of people. It's fantastic. So we're gonna have a lot of fun today. My wife and I, we've been married 21 years. We have 7 children. We love to travel all over the world. I'm gonna tell you some crazy stories today, and all built into the principles around this whole theme of accepting the challenge to rise. Okay, so I'll start with a story. When I was going to a university not too far from here, and so this was before most of you were born, and I'm driving to school, and I stop at a stoplight, and I'm sitting there at a stoplight, and just waiting for the light to change, and right in front of me, somebody runs the red light. Just bam! This huge accident right in front of me. Right now, I've taken some first aid classes, and so I grab my first aid kit. I run over there, and this gentleman had gotten there before me. And he'd opened the door, and the driver, she was in pretty bad shape, and she actually had like this bag of white powder on her front seat that got hit. And so she was like covered with white powder. I'm like, "Wah! What happened?" So I get there, and I said, "Have you started first aid?" And he was kneeling next to the door. And you gotta see this and picture this and feel this with me. He was kneeling next to the door with the driver, and he had her hand like this, and he was holding her hand. And I said, "Have you started first aid?" And he turns and he looks at me with just this look of just horror and desperation, and he said, "I have no idea what to do." Right? So I started treating her, and then the ambulance got there really fast and took care of her. But I went away from that experience that day of like, whoa, I never want to be in a situation where I need to be prepared and I'm not. Who's felt that before? Hands up. You get in a situation, you're like, oh man, this is not cool. I need to know my stuff, right? And so I set a goal that day to start training, start preparing, do whatever I could. And so I became an EMT because I was saying I wanted some medical training, started learning languages because I wanted to be able to do that. I just wanted to be prepared for whatever life can throw at you. So years later, we're living in Costa Rica, and I've been doing triathlons. Anybody in here ever done a triathlon? Where you swim, bike, and run? Ah, a couple of people, it's awesome, right? Really, really hard. So I was doing triathlons, but I moved to Costa Rica, and I didn't think there was any triathlons happening in Costa Rica. So I still go for a run. Any runners? Who are my runners? Nice. Who are my cyclists? Get on the bikes. Fantastic. Who are my swimmers? Nice. I swim like a barge, so it's bad. You guys have size 14 hobbit feet, and they like drag me down. They're really just big and... like I get made fun of for being a Sasquatch. So I'm training a little bit down there, and then a buddy calls me. He's like, "Dude, there's an awesome triathlon in 2 weeks. Do you want in Costa Rica?" I'm like, "Of course, sign me up." So we sign up. I do a little training. I get down there, and it's one of the best races I've ever done. So we swim in the ocean. We're in this bay. It's fantastic. Anybody swam in the ocean before or tried to swim far in the ocean? What happens when you're swimming in the waves? Yeah, you're getting pushed all over. You're swallowing seawater. It's a doozy. So I swim out there. I get on my bike, and it was one of the hardest and most beautiful bike rides I'd ever done. It was so far, so steep. I was driving past howler monkeys, spider monkeys, toucans, macaws, waterfalls, beaches. It was unreal. But I hadn't been training hard enough. So I'm riding along in the bike, and it was sweating. It's hot and humid, and my muscles start cramping up. Anybody have your legs cramp up, like you get a hamstring cramp? What does that feel like? Awesome, right? You're like, I love this, right? So I'm riding along, and those of you who do mountain biking or cycling, I had the shoes that clip into your pedals, right? So they're locked in. So I'm riding along, and then my leg locks like this, and I'm stuck in the pedal. And so I just tip over, right? And so I have other people on the course, and I'm laying there, and I can't get my leg, like, uncramped. And so I finally get my foot out, and I had to use a tree to unlock my leg. I'm resting, stretching out, and I get my right for a little bit farther, clerk, and fall over again. And so I get going in there, and then so you swim first, then you bike, and then you run. So I get to the transition area, I put on my shoes, and it was hard to put on your shoes. When your legs are cramping, it's crazy hard to put on your shoes, right? You guys know, yeah, some of you are like, I've done that, and you're like, oh, it took a while. So I start running, right? And you feel like after a bike ride that far, you feel like you're running on noodles. And I'm trying to go, it looks funny. And I before I even leave the transition station, both my legs just lock up, just Charlie horses, cramps. And I just fall forward. I'm laying there on the ground and learn one of the most important lessons of my life. It just came to me. When the time to perform has arrived, the time to prepare has passed. Jot that down. If you're taking notes, write that down. When the time to perform has arrived, the time to prepare has passed. Oh, man, it just hit me so hard. Like, this was my shot. This was my chance. This was my performance. The race is here, but I had not been training hard enough. When the time to perform has arrived, the time to prepare has passed. Woo! Last week, anybody in here has done a half marathon? Whoa, a couple of you, sweet! Okay, I did a half marathon last weekend, and it had 6,000 feet of elevation gain. Okay, it's over a mile of elevation gain. I nailed it. Felt fantastic because I've been training hard. I learned my lesson. So, for all of us in life, now this isn't just about doing triathlons or races or those kind of things. For all of us in life, I'm going to read this beautiful quote by Winston Churchill. It's really famous. You've probably heard it before. I want you to listen really carefully. He said, to each, there comes in their lifetime a special moment when they are figuratively tapped on the shoulder and they're offered a chance to do something very special. Do you guys know, do you even know who Winston Churchill is? Yeah, all right. He was the Prime Minister in Great Britain during World War II. And he was the one that when Hitler was attacking and bombing, he would go on the radio every night. We will never, never, never give up. We'll fight to the last man and woman here. We will not give up this island. Right? He changed the tide of the war. Amazing man. So he says, there comes time, a very special thing to do, unique and fitted to their talents. Each of you, every single one of you is going to have, I think, multiple opportunities to do something special in life. In just a minute, I'm going to tell you a story that will blow your minds because it was so unexpected and so crazy, but I learned a powerful lesson from it. And then he says this, Churchill continues, he says, what a tragedy if that moment finds them unprepared and unqualified for that thing which could have been their finest hour. Woo! Okay, give me some examples of that. Give me some examples of really special things you might have the opportunity to do and how you might not be prepared for it. Give me some examples. Let's think through this. How could this be real for you in life? Okay, a chance to save another person's life. Could that happen to you? Sure. And if you had a chance to save somebody's life and you couldn't because you'd spent your time doing what? Huh? Just anything. Just entertaining yourself to death, right? Wouldn't that be a tragedy? Wow. What else? What other unique opportunities might you have? Okay, a chance to study, go to university, to get an education or have awesome educational experiences, and you get there and here's your opportunity and you're unprepared and unqualified. How would that feel? Pretty rotten, right? Other examples? Yeah, okay. Chance to drive, you're like, yes, I can't wait for that moment. But what about unique experiences? Going on a mission, okay? Man, isn't a mission or service or some chance to make a difference in the life of somebody else, isn't that a unique and special opportunity? And what a tragedy if that day comes and finds you unprepared. I got a message last week. That very thing happened. Young man received his call, went through the whole thing, even went to the MDC, and the day he was supposed to fly out to a foreign country, he's like, nope, I can't go. I'm not ready. And missed out on that chance. Give me some other examples. What other examples? What's that?
Marriage.
Marriage. Yeah. Anybody here want to get married? Whew. You guys, one time I went 23 years as a single person. It was horrible. Oh, man. Marriage is the best. But how hard is marriage if you get there and you're not prepared? It's not like your wedding day. You're just like, boom, I'm ready. It's preparation. It's qualification. Yeah. The temple. And other sacred experiences. And what happens if you get to a moment where there's a really sacred and special opportunity, you're not ready for it. Right? There's so many examples. So here's what's interesting, you guys. Your finest hour, like Churchill's talking about, your finest hour often is unexpected. So you tell me, what happens if you wait until the moment you need it to prepare? What happens? Raise your hands. Tell me what happened. Go.
Panic.
Okay. Yes. Anybody felt that before? Yeah? Panic? What else? What else happens? You get there in your moment. You freeze. Okay, so what happens in your survival brain, you guys? It's either fight, flight, or freeze. Okay, and sometimes you do all of them, but which one do you do predominantly? Let's do this. How many of you, like, when you get real stressed, you kind of fight back? How many of you flee? Like, you just run off. You close, slam doors, run. I'm like, I'm out of here. Okay, my runners. Who are my freezers? Something scary or crazy happens, and you're just like, you're like the deer in the headlights, right? And we react that way. So you freeze, you panic. What else? What else happens when your moment arrives and you're not ready? She said, so you guys couldn't hear. She said, you might get lucky and you might pull it off. There's going to be chances you get through it and it'll be all right. You could have done better, but you do all right. Or you might crash and burn and totally miss out on your opportunity. Yes, major anxiety, right? You're gonna panic. You're going to get in this mode of like, whoa, everything's crashing here all around me. Fear. Fear is going to take over and put you into fight, flight, or freeze. Oh, you guys hear that? Will you jot that down for a second? She said you're going to regret your unpreparedness. And you got to live with that. You get to a moment and you had an opportunity to do something special and you didn't. Oh, man. You will regret your unpreparedness. Who's felt that before with something? You had a chance and you regretted it. Okay, so we live, you guys know this, we live in extraordinary times, but they're changing times and they're challenging times. What are some of the biggest challenges facing you and your peers right now? What are the big ones that are just really hitting home hard? Too much entertainment, isn't that funny? That is a challenge unique to this age. There's so much entertainment, endless entertainment, and it's a challenge, right? Actually, why is that a challenge? Doesn't that sound awesome? Okay, distraction. We are in the age of distraction. Okay, what are some of the other challenges we're facing? Okay, bad stuff everywhere. Is that, you guys feel like that's kind of the case? Is there bad stuff everywhere? It's so accessible now, right? Where before you used to have to go seek it out. You'd have to go find some little dark corner of the earth to find bad stuff. And now you can get it instantaneously. In fact, it's being pushed at you. What else? What are the other challenges we're facing? Bullies. Okay. Is there some bullying going on in the world? Yeah. Others? Peer pressure. Anybody felt peer pressure before? You guys, I hope you guys use peer pressure in a good way. Like, you better do good things or else, right? No, but use good peer pressure. It's a good thing. It can be a great thing. What else? The internet. So is the internet good or bad? It's neutral, right? It's just a tool. But, man, you can use it for some, there's some rotten stuff on there, and there's some amazing stuff on there. What else? Okay, who's ever done that before? You're on there scrolling, watching videos, totally checked out. You should be doing some studies, or you should be engaging with humans, and you're like, doo-doo-doo. And like 4 hours later, you're still watching cat videos, and wondering what happened to your day. Okay, let's do one more. One other challenge we're facing. There is a massive, massive challenge right now of mental illness. Right? It's real. How many of you know somebody who's struggling with some mental health or mental illness things? Look around. Okay. I was not anticipating sharing this, but I will. A year ago this month, my little brother took his life. I got to go visit him in the cemetery 2 days ago and talk to him a little bit. I miss him. I miss him a lot. And all his potential, all the great things, the rest of his life is put a stop to it, right? He's in a tough spot. So I get it. I've been there. I felt it. We live in really challenging times, and we have to. Will you jot this down? You must be proactive. I must be proactive. You have to be proactive about preparing. You can't wait till the last minute. You can't wait until the challenge surfaces and then be like, oh, I'm going to go for this. Let's say you got some kind of challenge where you need, I wasn't going to tell this story. You guys got so many stories. Do you like stories? Who likes stories? I'm going to tell you another story. So we were here, when was it? Maybe it was last year? Pfeifferhorn? Just a year ago. We climbed Pfeifferhorn. Anybody here climb Pfeifferhorn? Awesome peak up Big Cottonwood Canyon. It's really steep at the top, and it's really loose. There's a lot of rocks. So I go up there with my family. We're just on a family hike, just rolling along, having a good time, and I'd been training for big mountains. We were training for Orizaba and Cotopaxi and these big mountains I was climbing, right? So I was in fantastic shape. And we get to the top there, and we're up there. We're up right at the top where it's just kind of a peak, and it's really loose rock everywhere, and so we're all being really careful. And then all of a sudden, this huge rock about the size of a microwave starts tumbling down, picking up speed faster and faster and faster. And it's going about 200 yards down the mountain, and my wife and I are right below it. So I start screaming, rock, rock, rock. And I grabbed my wife. She didn't even remember this. I grabbed her around the waist, picked her up, and we jumped across this ravine, right, to get out of the way. The rock comes smashing right through, and I'm watching people below us, and everyone's scattering, jumping. They're not sure which way to go, and this guy's trying to dodge. He doesn't know, and he jumps right at the last minute, and I see the rock take out his feet. Boom! On a steep sea part. So I go right into rescue mode, right? So I go booking down there to him. I get my first aid stuff out, start calling for help. I take off, and it knocked his shoe off, and I start chesting. Are you okay? He's like, I'm good. It's just my foot. I'm like, anything else? No. He's like, I'm good. May I look at your foot? So he's like, yeah. I gotta take off your sock. It's gonna hurt. So I took off his sock, and there was a big puncture wound right in the back of his heel where the rock had hit really hard, and it was just spurting blood. Right? So now some of you are like, okay, this is one of your moments where you're like, what? Right? There's a moment where you're like, no, you can help, but you're passed out cold. Okay? You're unconscious. And so other people came down with first aid supplies. I bandaged him all up, lots of pressure, forced his shoe back on. I said, I'm very sorry. I don't even know you, but this shoe's going back on. We needed pressure. And it was in a boulder field, so there was two options. We could have called a helicopter and they'd lower cable and take him out. But we assessed him, talked to him, everything. He was calm. It was good. It was not a life-threatening situation. So I said, okay, we can call search and rescue, but we're at the top of the mountain. It's going to take them 2 to 3 hours to get here. So I said, what do you want to do? Because he couldn't walk. It was too much pain. He couldn't walk. He said, what do you want to do? So I ended up carrying him off the mountain. Okay? 5 miles at high elevation with a 160-pound man on your back. Anybody want to give that a try? Hardest thing I have ever done in my life physically. But I was ready. I couldn't walk the next day, but I was ready. Right? And it was a chance to help. So opportunities to help will come all the time, but they're unexpected. You've got to be ready. And we're going to talk about, and I'm start thinking through ideas, like ways that you specifically need to prepare more. Many, many good people are going to get lost in the coming, well, they already are, aren't they? Isn't it a struggle to kind of get lost, not physically lost, but just kind of lost in all the confusion. You guys feeling that? From what I read recently, within about 3 to 5 years, we're all going to be wearing glasses. Not all, we don't have to, but glasses are going to be available that have screens on them, contacts or glasses, where you can just see and you can get in the virtual world. That's coming. It already exists, and now they're just kind of perfecting it. So screens, I was going to grab my phone. Phones, you know, are going to kind of become old school because it's all going to be on screens. And if you can get lost in the virtual world, it's hard to tell what's real or not. Anybody felt that before? Right? You start getting like, what's real? What's real in life? And so that's happening. We must be prepared. Okay. Ready for another story? So there I was. My wife and I, to celebrate our anniversary, had chartered a private yacht with a few other couples to sail around the Galapagos Islands off the coast of Ecuador, right? Wow, off the charts, absolutely amazing. Put it on your bucket list. Anybody been to the Galapagos? Okay, one of the most wonderful places on this planet. It was incredible. Before we went out to the Galapagos, we were climbing some mountains. And so, I don't know why, but all of my stories today include mountains. But I've had other stories too, I promise. So we're climbing this mountain, and we get to Quito, and we take this cable car up to the top of the mountain. Well, not to the top, but take it up, and then we start hiking. It's called the Ruku Pinchicha. And it's at 16,000 feet, so that's higher than any mountain on the continental United States. And so we hike to the top. It's my wife and I and our two friends. We hike to the top of the mountain. And it was beautiful. It was amazing. Some incredible views. We're up there. We summit. We take pictures. It's just fantastic. We're celebrating. And then we start scrambling down. There's a steep part. It's steep, but you could do it, right? You're using your hands and your feet, and you're coming down. It's okay. And not real crazy dangerous. And so we get down, and we start getting off the steep part. And my sweetheart, who's so amazing to go on these adventures with me, she's like, I'm out of here. So she puts in her little playlist music, and she's like, I'm off this mountain. And I'm like, wait for me, babe. Right? I'm booking down the mountain. And we get down quite a ways, and I just have this really, really strong impression, wait, because our friends are behind us. Like, I got to wait. So I'm like, babe, you run ahead. I will run and catch you. I got to wait. So I'm waiting there. I'm just sitting there enjoying the mountains and the sunshine, totally by myself, nobody else. And I'm just waiting for a while. I think I probably waited, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And then our friend comes down, and she's like, oh, so sorry we're late. Somebody fell. And I'm like, what? What do you mean somebody fell? And she's like, well, we were coming down. We were already most of the way down. And we just heard a scream, and we saw somebody fall. So we tried to call 911. We talked to the firefighters. They said they're going to try to send somebody up. It was just confusion. We didn't know what was going on. I don't know. And I'm like, well, there's no rescue. I knew the closest firefighters were 3 hours out. 3 hours. So I'm like, if somebody did fall and they're hurt, it's 3 hours. I can be back up there in 45 minutes. So I said to Heather, will you carry my backpack? I'm going back up. I have to. If there's nothing wrong, great. If there is, I can help. Because I have medical training. I speak Spanish, and I was in fantastic shape. I can help, right? I'm prepared. So I hand out my pack, you guys. I run back up, and I re-summit a 16,000-foot mountain. Nobody else was coming down, and I knew it was serious, because otherwise hikers would have been coming down. Nobody was coming down. So I'm like, oh, I fully expect a crowd of people. And when I got up there, it was very, very serious. And there was a young lady in her early 20s named Jessica. And they were holding her at the edge of a cliff. And they'd kind of surrounded and just were holding her body, keeping her from falling off further. Because she had fallen very, very far. And so I got there, I started assessing. There was another nurse from France there and some people standing around watching. And so we were helping assess the situation, helping her get comfortable. But I could tell she was in a very, very, very bad condition. So there was a gentleman there with a phone call, and I said, the only way she's getting out here is in a helicopter. So I said, please call. please get a helicopter. So he calls and he's like, we need a helicopter, we need a helicopter. And they just said, no, we can't send a helicopter. So we're going along and I'm assessing her, helping her. She's having a hard time breathing. And then I was assessing and I knew she'd had some serious internal injuries. So I relieved the guy. One guy had been sitting there for 45 minutes with his knee turned like this on a rock to hold her from from falling, right? So he could hardly move. So we helped him move. I got in there. We got her to the most comfortable spot we could, and I was holding her. And you guys, I was holding her like this underneath and talking to her and relieving her. I won't even give you the details of her injuries because it was very, very severe. And I was holding her. And so my face was literally this close, you guys, to hers. And I'm just sitting there holding her, helping her. We're covering her up. I opened her backpack to use her backpack as a neck brace and kind of a pillow to support her. We're trying to keep her head and back straight, right? All medical procedures. And I open her backpack, and there's a bunch of packaging from alcohol. I realized they'd been drinking at 16,000 feet. And that was the catalyst for her fall. So we get her comfortable and careful and situated, and then within just a couple of minutes she died right there in my arms. It's no simple thing to watch another human being pass literally in my arms. And she was young. So much life ahead of her. And she died right there in my arms. And the people around me, they were just crying and screaming and suffering and struggling. And it's getting dark. The sun had gone behind the mountains. Now it's getting dark. And when it gets dark in the mountains, it gets very cold. We have a far way to go. People didn't bring gear to stay the night or be up there for a long time. It was a day hike. So we, with as much respect as possible, we cover her and take care of her, and I just start getting everyone off the mountain. I'm like, we got to get off the mountain. We're going to have a lot more trouble here if we got 20 people stuck on this mountain. So I'm like, everyone, just let's start heading down. Sorry you had to see this. Sorry you had experience. Let's start heading down. We got to get off the mountain so there's no more trouble. So I start getting everybody off the mountain, and then I look up higher, and there's this guy up there waving, like, help, help, come up, come here, help. I'm like, what's going on? So I book it up there higher. It was her boyfriend. He'd fallen too. He broke his arm, he broke his leg, and something was wrong with his hip. And he was intoxicated, and he's sitting there just leaning forward, wanting to fall off the mountain. And so we went up there and treated him, assessed him, and by then it had gotten dark, the firefighters got there, we packaged him up, and we had to carry him off the mountain. Okay, now you're going down a steep, steep mountain, holding a man in a tray. So, so, so hard. So challenging physically. It's cold, you're tired, you're thirsty, you're hungry. And we were able to get him down in a safe place as the other firefighters came and took over. And now it's dark and I've got to catch my wife. And so I ran. It took her like 2 hours. Took her 2 hours. I made it in 40 minutes in the dark. Oh, I couldn't walk the next day. I couldn't walk that night or the next day. It was crazy and it was so emotional and so hard. I tell you these stories because to me they're just the greatest illustration of principle. We have to be prepared. So let's talk about that. In what ways do you need to prepare for the challenges that are facing you in your life, right now and in the future? What do you need to do to be more prepared? Yes, sir.
Physically strong.
Okay, why? Yeah. There's going to be situations where you're going to need to use your body either for yourself or to help somebody else. And what's really cool, you guys, our body is a temple, right? But it's a vehicle. Everything you experience in life, you're going to experience through your body. So let's take care of it. Right? Let's take care of our bodies. That's fantastic. What else?
Make connections to other cultures.
Yes.
Studying other cultures and that kind of thing.
Yes. Connection, I'm going to say it really loud, connections to other people and cultures and languages, understanding, connecting to human beings and getting really good at it. You guys, you wouldn't know this about me, but when I was your age, I was so shy and so timid, so afraid to talk to people. I literally could not look another person in the eyes. I remember I was 16 and I was looking, and we were having this conversation with a guy like this, and he's like, Greg, you have to look up to me. You got to look in the eyes when you're talking to people. And I looked up, and I'm like, oh, he's still looking at me. And I just, I look up, and he's like, no, look at me. I'm like, I am. You're, I couldn't do it. And I would turn bright red, and I was like, ah. And then girls terrified me. I just, it was like cardiac arrest. Like, I look, there was a girl coming, like, ah, please, go on the other side. I was terrified, right? I had to face those fears. I had to learn how to talk to people. So my definition, if you want to jot this down, this is important. My definition of social leadership and social skills is the ability to have meaningful conversations with anyone, anywhere, at any time. Jot that down. The ability to have meaningful conversations with anyone, anywhere, at any time. Now, anybody here ever heard the jokes about homeschoolers being socially awkward? Yeah? Yeah. Okay, let's defy that, people. Let's not add to it. Let's work on our social skills. Let's develop and cultivate that ability to talk to anyone, anywhere, at any time and have meaningful conversations. Those are important skills. What else? What else do we need to practice and prepare for?
Emotional resilience.
Emotional resilience. Oh, why? Expound on that. Yes. Oh, fantastic. You can't stay calm and help a situation if you're freaking out yourself. Who here has had a situation where you freaked out? Yeah. Who here is likely in your life to have lots of situations where you could freak out? Yeah. Okay. It's going to happen, whether it's socially or physically or spiritually, financially. Like, life is crazy. We've got to have some emotional resilience. What else? How else do we need to prepare? Really loud. Confidence.
The space to have the preparedness, but not have the guts to say, I'm here, send me.
Wow, thank you so much. I'm going to repeat that. She said, you got to have the confidence because it stinks to have the preparation and the preparedness and yet not have the confidence to speak up and say, I'm ready, I can help. Who's felt that before? Oh, man, all the skills in the world won't help you if your lack of confidence is like, I ain't saying anything. I'm not helping. I'm not talking to that person. Looks lonely. Too bad for them. I'm not talking to them because I'm scared, right? Or whatever it is. Yeah, you've got to have confidence, but how do you get confidence? Yes, sir. Say that again louder.
By doing it.
That's what I had to do. So let me tell you, I got all these stories just popping up all the time. So I was super shy. I get to university. I'm still crazy shy. I don't talk to anyone. I would walk around like, oh, she's looking. He's looking. I'm just like, what's up? And I meet this guy named Scott. And he had this bald head. He shaved his head bald, and he wore these hoop earrings. And he was this huge bodybuilder. And he walked like this. And everybody's like, hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Good to see you, man. How you doing? And he talked to me one day because he's so nice. I was like, wow, this is great. I'm like, and so we're walking down the street, and he's talking to everybody. I'm like, Scott, how do you know everyone? He's like, I don't know any of those people. I'm like, you talk to them all. He's like, yeah. He's like, I made a commitment that I would greet every single person that made eye contact with me. I was like, that's amazing. You're so lucky. He's like, you could do it. Just try it. He's like, here, try it right now. And I was like, dude, don't make me. He's like, try it. And so I look, I'm like, hey. And they're like, I don't know you. I'm like, see, man, it doesn't work. He's like, no, keep trying it, keep trying it. And so I did it, and I did it, and I did it, and did it. And then, you guys, I became the awkward one. I would go to the grocery store and be like, the clerk, hi, how you doing? Tell me about your life. What are your goals? Yeah. What? Cool, what's your dream? I mean, like, the people in line, you're in the grocery store. Hey, man, what's your life dream? What do you want to do later in life? And he's like, I just want my groceries, man. Or the awkward elevator sign. So when you're in the elevator, what do you do in the elevator? Everybody just looks down. Nobody talks. I'm like, what's up, dance party in the elevator? Tell me your life dream and your story. I know we only have two floors to go, but tell me what's the most important thing to you in your life. And they're like, you are weird. But I have had the most amazing conversations and been able to build friendships all over the earth. Because I practice it. I was not born with that skill. We got to practice it. What else? What else do we need to do to prepare? Okay. Oh, that's good. Say that one a lot louder.
Being mentally fit.
To be mentally fit. you guys jot that one down? I hope you're keeping notes here and taking a list. And kind of go back with this list of things we've been talking about. Social skills, emotional resilience, mental fitness. See this symbol on my arm here? Let's see how it's great. You can see it. This is a logo that my son and I created for our business. And it's three triangles. And I call it the triple trifecta. A trifecta is anything that is three things that help you win. And so it's a triple trifecta. And one of them is mind, body, and spirit. That's one of the trifectas, mind, body, spirit. And you have to be fit, mentally fit, physically fit, and spiritually fit. Some of us might be physically fit and spiritually atrophied. Some of us might be spiritually fit, but emotionally super weak. We can't handle anything. You post something on social media and you only get three likes and you're like, my life is over. Three likes. It's not even worth being. Right? You see what I'm saying? So you guys, you have to be fit. So give me some ideas. Let's focus on that one just for a minute. Give me some ideas. How can we become mentally fit? How do you get mental fitness? Learn a lot all the time. You guys, read across all genres. Be studying. Okay, I'm 44. I have two businesses. I have seven kids. We travel the world. I still read a book a week, and I have for over two decades. You guys should be smoking me in that one because you have time and you don't have seven kids. You should be reading voraciously. Learn so much. Find anything that can sharpen your brain. If life depends on Rubik's Cubes, I'm toast, man. I'm done, right? What else? How else can we get mentally fit? Okay, you guys, I gotta show you this. Look at my fingers here. Everything affects everything. This is life. Sometimes we get thinking in life, we're like, my spirit doesn't affect my mind. The condition of my body doesn't affect my relationships. Right? We get thinking it's like they're totally separate. It's not, isn't it? You're a whole being. Everything affects everything. Keep going. How can we be mentally fit? Learn languages. I think every single person here, yes, I love you. I think every one of you should learn at least one language. So I committed years ago that I'm going to take every 5 years, I will become fluent in a new language. Okay? So I speak Spanish to near perfection because I worked on it so hard. And we lived in Spanish-speaking countries for years. I'm learning French right now, and I think year and a half, I'll be my fifth year. And then we're moving to Portugal. So I'm going to learn Portuguese next, and then after that, I think it'll be Arabic. Right? And just every 5 years, new language. It's amazing. You do your mental exercises, what happens to your brain? It's incredible. How else can we be more mentally fit?
Find what makes you passionate and exciting and become like an expert.
Yes, I love that. Find what you're passionate about, what excites you, what lights you up, and become an expert at that thing. Use your skills and talents for good to make a difference. Yes, 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 yes. She said, train yourself with positive affirmations. So let me give you some examples. How many of you have ever caught yourself saying to yourself, I'm so stupid. I can't, there's no way I can do that. I'm not enough. I can't do that, right? We are often saying negative things to ourselves. We have to train ourselves, learn how to say positive things to ourselves. So when I was your age and I was struggling and like, oh, what do I do? I'm afraid of this. I started saying things. One of the things I say to myself all the time, and I said to my kids as soon as we adopted and then started having kids, I said it all the time. I'm awake, energized, and alive. I'm awake, energized, and alive. I'm awake, energized, and alive. I'm healthy and strong. I can do this. I can figure this out. And you start saying positive things to yourself, and guess what happens? When you say them again and again, what happens? You believe them. And then when you believe them, what happens? You become them. And it's true. It's true for you. What else?
Take care of your mental health. Therapy can benefit everyone.
Okay, therapy, right? So what I do, I haven't told you guys this. What I do for full-time living, I'm an executive life and business coach, right? So I get to coach people every day, and I love it. There's such a great place for coaching, counseling, and therapy. Good stuff, right? To have somebody else help talk through this thing and help you get good mental habits.
If you do things what you like,
then you're most likely to succeed if you do things that other people like you do. Not as...
Okay, hold on to the things that you're passionate about, you're excited about, that you like, and do those things. And let that passion, excitement for life drive you forward.
Learn from people's real life experiences. It's great about reading, like, the technique, but, like, what you've been telling us about, like, sort of what you did is really important. Like, that
yeah.
My grandpa, he was an EMT.
Nice. Good. Yeah. So learn from other people's real life experiences. And then go out and have your own. Will you please, everyone, please hear this right now. Please, please, please. I invite you. I implore you. I would kneel down and beg you. I challenge you. Have as many experiences as absolutely possible. And in that case, you have to make them happen. Don't sit around waiting for someone to knock on your door randomly one day and be like, hey, you want to go to Africa with us? You're like, yeah, are you paying? Sure, let's go. Right? Make things happen. Set big, crazy goals. I have this acronym I came with called dumb goals. Set dumb goals. They're demanding, unrealistic, meaningful, and bold. You should always have dumb goals. Get out and have so many experiences. It will change who you are and who you become. What else?
So for mentally being fit, I think you have to question. You have to question.
What? What? Are you crazy? He says we should question what we hear. Should we? Should we question things? I think sometimes we get in these circles, they're like, don't question anything. Just believe it. Just accept it. Don't question stuff. But you're right. Question it. Walk through it. Challenge it. Think all the way around it. See where you're at. Get to the space where you can question and think clearly. Yes. No, she said, know who you are spiritually and as a person. Who gets to determine who you are as a person? You do, man. Just decide. Yes. Why? Why does that? He said, be careful who you associate with. Why does that matter?
Because you are who you associate with.
Ooh, that's bold. Do the people around you affect who you become?
Yes.
Absolutely they do. Make sure you choose to associate with great people. Have an outlet. What does that mean? Expound on that.
So like when you're stressed or something, you find something to do to detox.
Fantastic. Perfect. She says have an outlet. When you're stressed or afraid or something, when you're concerned, when you got stuff, who here has, you get stuff bouncing around your head and it stays in there like a wrecking machine? Anybody? Look at this. Look around. It's a very normal thing. You get these ideas or fears or worries. They just start wreaking havoc in your head. Have an outlet. Now, I didn't know this. I didn't know what I was doing when I was – so I moved out at 16. So my I came from a broken family. I love my mom. I really love my mom. My dad split when I was young. My mom is on her sixth marriage. So it was just marriage and divorce and fighting and marriage and divorce and fighting. So I left home at 16, right? Shy, timid, afraid, dead broke. Like, I was lucky some days. Just, anybody here ever – does pork and beans even exist in the can anymore? It shouldn't. It should be banned from the earth. But that's what I would eat because that's all I could afford. There'd be like a selling pork and beans because nobody likes pork and beans. So I'd open it up and just like cold spoon. And I felt fortunate to have it sometimes. I was broke. And my outlet was like I was living in this inner city place and there was a Boys and Girls Club down there and they had boxing bags. So I'm like, I'm going to become a boxer and a martial artist and I'm going to kill that bag. And it was great. And then I started lifting weights. And I'm like, I'm going to smash these weights so I didn't have to smash other people or myself or other things, right? So I lifted weights. I got into sports and fighting. And I had this healthy outlet. And then I read. I read and read and read. And I let people teach me. Anybody here ever heard of The Hiding Place or read The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom? Yeah, look at that. Woo! She, so I was 16, 17, on my own. I don't even know. I can't even remember how I found it. I don't think it had a cover on it. It was just the book. I started reading it. Turned out to be The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. And her family is a Christian family living in the Netherlands during World War II. And they created this secret room upstairs. They built a fake wall. And they hid Jews in there. And there were searches all the time. And they hid Jews. And they hid them. They saved a lot of lives. But then their neighbors betrayed them. They all got caught. Their whole family got taken to concentration camp. And everybody died but Corrie. And Corrie tells her whole story of her sister Betsy, and they were in the camp together. And Betsy had the best attitude in the world. She was grateful even for the fleas in the camp. Because of the fleas, the guards wouldn't come in. They snuck in a Bible, and they were able to read the Bible every night with the prisoners. I mean, it's just an unbelievable story. And she became my first mentor. Years later, because we love to travel with the family, I've taken my kids to like 35 countries so far. And years later, I got to take my children, you guys, go to Harlem in the Netherlands, walk down that alleyway past the watch shop. Go, those of you who read the book, you know what I'm talking about. Go through the side door, walk up the spiral staircase, which went around the mast of an old ship. Whew. I get emotional every time I think about this. I got to go up into the room. I got to get on my hands and knees and crawl into the hiding place. And thank her. She passed away years ago, but to thank her for being one of my first mentors and teachers and for helping me get through such a hard, hard time in my life. I was living in a terrible area all by myself, and I read her story, and I'm like, okay, my story's not so bad, right? This is tough, but it's not bad. I'm not in a concentration camp. And she taught me. She taught me how to have a good attitude, right? So learn. Learn from every opportunity you can. Let's go here and then here.
Another thing for mental health, mental fitness, is allow yourself to feel emotions.
Yes, fantastic. Why? She said allow yourself to feel emotions. Why?
If you don't, it'll bottle up and you just get more depressed and you just start to feel like no one likes you.
Exactly. You can get in a dark place by shoving it down all the time or thinking, oh, I can't feel that, or I can't feel that, or trying to be numb or trying to play it off or trying to ignore your feelings. Allow yourself to feel stuff. Have a full, healthy range of emotions. Feel it all. But here I'm going to teach you something amazing that will totally transform your life. You get to choose what you want to feel most of the time. Obviously, let things affect you. But on a regular day, wake up and decide. One of the first things I do every morning, I teach my coaching clients, choose your emotion for the day. You get to decide, what do you want to feel today? And so you do it right now. If you want to, jot it down. What do you choose to feel today? And you might be like, I'm going to be peaceful. And then somebody cuts you off in traffic. And you're like, I'm not peaceful anymore. And then you're like, wait a minute, I chose peace. So I go back to it. And you can choose the emotion you want to feel most of the time. I want you to take today, this takeaway is like, you know, the whole theme of this event is to rise to your challenge. But you have to accept the challenge. You got to just for yourself, say, I accept the challenge. I will rise. Everyone say that with me. I will rise. Louder than that. I will rise. I will rise. Right? And wake up in the morning and say, I will rise. And you're like, I can't even get out of bed. The pillow's attacking me. I will rise at some point after I hit my snooze button 20 times. No, I will rise. And when life gets hard, what are you going to do? You're going to quit? You guys, when life gets tough, choose to be tougher. So I teach a class for youth. It's called Habits for a Successful Life. I've been doing it for years. It's an online class. We meet twice a week, and we just read great books and discuss them, and we do this twice a week. And we go through these great books, and we have these great discussions, and there was like 50 or 60 students in my class this last semester. And it's just twice a week. We're just in great books, having great discussions, getting around great people, preparing ourselves, reminding ourselves, I will rise. I will rise. When things get tough, I'll get tougher. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to prepare way ahead of time. I'm not going to wait for a disaster, an emergency, or a real problem before I start to prepare. So start looking ahead in your future. See the things you want to do, if it includes university, if it includes a mission, if it includes marriage, just living a great life. If you want to live an extraordinary life, start preparing now. And spend your time preparing instead of, like, if we would just simply trade our entertaining for training, oh, man, it would change everything. Any of you set a New Year's goal to watch 200 hours of Netflix? No, but a bunch of you will. You'll end up watching hundreds of hours. You're like, that wasn't one of your goals, but you're crushing it. Set some big goals and get up every morning and chase your goals. One more time, say it with me really loud. I will rise. I will rise. Thank you, guys.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.